I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavallette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to our second Holy Cross Coaches Show of the season from Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. I'm Dick Lutzk. And for the next hour, we're going to talk Holy Cross sports. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk field hockey. And we're going to talk track and field over the course of the next 60 minutes right here on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live. Our first guest of the evening is the head football coach of the Holy Cross Crusaders, Bob Chesney. Chesney and the football team took it on the chin from the Boston College Eagles this past Saturday, 62-14. What's the takeaway from a game like that?
Well, I think that, you know, you have a chance to measure yourself against some of the best. You know, I think that I would imagine as we move forward, a lot of the people that we're going to see are probably not going to look quite like number two on either side of the ball there for those guys. And I think that, you know, it's a good sort of a measuring stick for us to just start to talk about what do we want our program to look like. You know, and I think, you know, talking about it but actually feeling it and being part of it, you know, I think it gives it a lot more of concrete evidence of what we hope to be.
Right from the get-go, on the opening play of the game, we lose a player, Jack Haddon, our linebacker, down on kick coverage, out with a concussion, and from there it went downhill real fast. How, I guess the first question is, are you able to determine how good is a team like Boston College?
Very good. Yeah, they're very good. I think, you know, and you look over the past however many years, they were not very good. And I think we just run into a situation where they have an unbelievable defense with a Heisman Trophy caliber running back. I'm excited to watch this game on Thursday night against Wake Forest to see if they just are able to tackle him, because I cannot imagine that, you know, he's an easy matchup for many defensive backs when he gets into that second level, period, regardless of the level you're at. So I think that will be interesting, but I think that you know, he's an unbelievable, the whole team was very, very good. That's the best team they've had in 20 years, I would imagine.
That's what we were told before the game, yeah. And they're big. They're just so large.
Yep.
They outweighed our guys 50 pounds a man from the defensive line to our offensive line, and it was just crazy.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, right, that they built it the right way. They gave him some time to do it, because I know that it was going a couple different ways at one point there, and the running back, A.J. Dillon, came along and really solidified their place in the college, you know, college football landscape.
First couple of plays, they ran a couple of sweeps. First series, they go to the left, and they set Dillon free, and he ran wild and without any really uncontested. Second set, they come back and they go the other way. They went around the right side.
Yeah.
Their offensive line was really sealing off the corners about as well as you can.
Well, we had two guys out there. I think that, you know, that was, they weren't outside plays. They were inside plays. And if we have to, left the gap open, he would have been that way towards the end zone. So I thought we did a good job of making him bounce, which was honestly our plan. I think that, you know, his speed was just a little bit different. You know, we filled the gaps inside. He went outside and, you know, just had a little bit more speed. And then when you try to bring him down one-on-one, it's just not that easy to do.
We talked after the Colgate game about falling behind 14-0 and having to change your outlook, change your play calling, change your strategy after you fall behind. You fell behind 21-0 to Boston College, and this is a very impressive Boston College team. What did that do to your mindset on the sideline as far as approaching play calling the rest of the way?
Well, I mean, just offensively, we knew we weren't going to be able to just throw it all over the yard against these guys. We weren't going to have time to stand back there, and I don't think there were going to be a lot of wide open windows, you know, just yet. So I think it was a matter of, you know, trying to hold on to the ball as much as we can, try to keep A.J. Dillon off the field. And I thought we did a decent job of that. We need to put some drives together. And when it came time to throw, we just didn't have much success in that department. And, you know, I think that's one thing we have to open up this week.
A couple of other injuries that we suffered during the game. Akeem Walcott, the safety, and Cole Perwitz, the tight end, both injured in the game. What's their status for Yale?
I think Cole's going to be out for a little while, and I think Akeem's hoping to come back. He was jogging around a little bit today. I think, you know, that he has a good shot. I was impressed that, you know, when when Jack went down, to just look at that freshman Colin Hanahan come in, and just the way he, you know, you looked in his eyes, and it was pretty impressive, because in that setting, you know, a lot of people you learn pretty quickly about what they're made of. And I thought he did when we looked at him and said, "It's your time," he had a big smile on his face, and his eyes told a very different story than what I think many others would have.
What about the setting? 40,000 people in the stands coming out there. Kind of in awe of the situation at all, were they, or were they ready for it?
No, I think it's a perfect environment. It's not a 100,000 person stadium. You know, it's sitting at that 40,000. It's nice. It's a nice, you know, tight feel to it. And I thought, you know, we had just, and not only at the beginning of the game, but the thing I was most impressed with was at the end of the game. At one point in the third quarter, Anthony DeMichael, who's an alum, from here, you know, said, "Just look around for a minute." And we looked around, and the whole student section was gone. A lot of the maroon was gone, and there was purple everywhere. And they stood by us, you know, until that final whistle. And I think that's, you know, that just speaks volumes of, you know, just how much support we have from all of them. And we're very grateful and thankful.
You mentioned this freshman Hanahan, who came in to replace Jack Haddon. Another freshman, Spencer Gilliam, blocked a kick and then recovered a kick. He was involved in both special teams touchdowns. National Special Teams Player of the Week. That's quite an honor.
Great honor for a freshman. And I think, it's he, Chris Argus, there's a couple other freshmen out there that are just, you know, Derek Ying. There's a couple guys out there that are, you know, just playing. They're just playing and having fun. And I think that, you know, that showed up on Saturday.
So two games under your belt, a loss to Colgate, which, by the way, is a little bit more impressive now that Colgate comes back and beats UNH up in Durham last
That's
week,
right.
Which is a tough place to win, and a loss to BC. What do you know about your team?
I think we they're resilient. I think we know that they're tough. I think there's two pretty, you know, formidable opponents that we lined up against. And I think to line up against both of those and just not back down, you know, be outmanned a little bit at times, but not back down. And then to have other people pick up where other people need a little bit of help, I think was, you know, that process of building each other up, doing it with a lot of effort, doing it with a lot of energy. And I thought they did that.
Is it my imagination, or did I notice during the course of the game that your offense was slowing down, coming up to the line of scrimmage, taking the time, running time off the play clock, not in a hurry, not playing fast like
I think it was your imagination, because we were doing that from the very beginning of the game as well. The game went on.
No,
we started off that way during the BC game.
Right.
Yes, correct.
As opposed to the Colgate game, when you try to play a little faster.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Why?
Well, because they have number two, who is, that would have the ball in his hand. And I don't think, you know, many of us wanted that, you know, for very long. He's very good. And we understand he's very good. And I think it was the idea of trying to keep the ball away from them if we're going to have a chance in that game.
You played a couple of quarterbacks. You played Emmett Clifford. Mm-hmm. You played Jeff Wade.
Yep.
What did you learn about the quarterbacks?
I learned that we just got to continue to grow. We have to continue to get better. You know, we missed a couple pretty open throws and not any crazy throws, just throws that we, you know, are very, very much makeable throws that we do often in practice. We just need to find that consistency. And I think this will be a big week for them to do
that. Did the fact that BC came into the game with the reputation of being one of the top intercepting teams in the country intimidate your quarterbacks at all?
And you'd have to ask them. I don't necessarily think that. I think there was some pressure. I think there's a big defensive line. There's not probably easy windows to see through when you're back there against that size of guys. But I thought, you know, again, we just missed a couple times, just some footwork stuff that they've done a good job of correcting this.
All right, let's talk about both sides of the ball then, offensively, defense. Let's start with the offense. As you watch the film of that game, what did you learn about your offensive unit that you can carry forward to the Yale game and beyond?
Well, I thought the offensive line. I think that's two games in a row where you watch them do a very good job. To be able to run the ball against an ACC team that's probably going to have a chance to compete for that title, I think speaks, you know, volumes again of where our offensive line is and where the run game is. They did a really nice job, but we just need to have the run to set up the pass here as we move forward a little bit. And I think that's something that, again, we have to just concentrate on as we go through this week on. But, I thought the offensive line and the running backs, I thought, did a really, really, really good job. I think on the defensive side, I thought the defensive line, and I thought, you know, Ryan, who will be up here in a minute, and 15 tackles, and Cullen both did a really good job in the core of our defense. You know, not very many of those plays that you're talking about hit inside. You know, I think we did a good job of securing the inside, and I think that was just some things on the speed, on the perimeter, that we weren't great matchups.
How do you prepare for a team like Yale then, coming off the two losses?
Well, I think that it's the same way, right? I don't think as Ryan comes up here or anybody else, you know, that you'll have a chance to talk to on our team. I don't think anybody, you know, feels that we're an 0-whatever football team. I think we know that each week it doesn't matter what happened on Saturday, find a way to get better. And we come in on Sunday, put it to rest, and then we go back out on Tuesday, and today was probably one of our best, you know, practices of almost the entire year. So that tells me, you know, where we're at mentally.
Pretty good example of the difference in FBS and FCS from what we saw the other day. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, a really good FBS team. Yeah, and us, right? That's what we saw right there. I think that's not there's FBS teams out there that don't look like BC looks right now, you know, and UConn last year, or you know, some of the other schools that are out there at that level. You know, UMass who played there, they don't. BC's a different deal right now, and I think the world will see that and understand that very shortly.
Looking forward to playing them again down the road?
Yeah, and I think it'll be that one when we have a little bit more time, you know, to build our team, a little bit more time to bring in more guys, a little bit more time for us to build, you know, what we feel our team should look like. I think that'll be a great sort of gauge for us to have an idea of where are we two years from now.
We talked after the Colgate game about the mood of the team in the locker room, on the bus, coming back home. How would you characterize the mood of the team after losing 62-14?
You know, I don't think it was anything terrible. You know, I think, again, I'm going to continually say this to him, it doesn't matter, get better, regardless of the outcome of that game. If we win, they should not be way up here anyway, because we have to go right back to work the next day. You know, and if we lose, same thing. It doesn't matter, really. You know, it's a matter of how do we take it day by day? How do we help ourselves get better? I thought that there was a lot of family. There's a lot of alumni. There are a lot of friends that made that game a little bit different when you walked out of the stadium. You know, there was purple everywhere. And I thought there was a lot of people very, very happy to see their family and their friends. And that was their, you know, little hour there to do that before we jumped on the bus.
That was an impressive atmosphere with all the purple in the stands.
It really was, yep. Yeah.
Yale, Saturday, at Fitton Field, first home game of the season, which is always a good thing, ready to play in front of the home fans.
Absolutely. My first time out there for a game, which I'm excited to see, you know, the atmosphere, and I'm excited to feel that from you know, all of our faithful that were there on last Saturday. Maybe not quite as many, but hopefully there's still a great group. Hoping the students have a chance to make it out and get a chance to support, you know, their fellow students on our team. And I think, you know, I hope the whole community has a chance to come together, you know, on Saturday in support.
I hope those who went to the BC game really appreciate what it can be like on a college campus on game day and how much fun it can be, because it was a great atmosphere at the Alumni Stadium before, during, and after the game.
No question. Absolutely. Yep. And I think that I'm imagine how many of our students were there and how many of our community were there. I know they felt that, and hopefully that's something they want to replicate.
Yale was the Ivy League champ last year,
yep.
And they're picked by the coaches to do it again this year.
Yep.
32-0, they handled Holy Cross last year. What do you know about them? How do you prepare for them?
Well, you know what you know as far as film from last year. They did graduate quite a bit of guys, but it's a team that, you know, has many FBS players on their team that just chose to go that route instead of going to FBS. So they're going to be very, very good. They have a great, you know, receiver and kick returner, another great freshman that we know of that's on that team. You know, their quarterback is very good. I think the rookie of the year is the running back. You know, so there's a lot on offense to talk about. Then you get to the defensive side, and there's no shortcomings there either. So very similar to Colgate, I think, is what this game will feel like. But, you know, maybe even a little bit more, you know.
7 All-Ivy players returned, 57 Lettermen, 10 starters back. They were 9-1 last year, ranked number 24 last year at the end of the season in the FCS poll. And, again, as I say, the coaches pick them to win again in the Ivy League this year, which should be pretty competitive. As far as our guys and getting ready for a game like that, coming down off of a loss like that, is it business as usual the first day back to practice?
Yes.
Or do you sense any kind of a change in atmosphere?
No, if anything, I sense a more urgency. You know, if anything, there's more urgency this week. You know, today, again, was Sunday was great. Today was unbelievable. And I think that their urgency and their, again, even whatever that score might have been, the opponent that we just faced just gave us a little, you know, gave us, you know, more confidence, I would think, moving forward. And on top of that, I think there's a lot of things that we saw improve from week 1 to week 2, whether the score says it or not, and we're excited to make those improvements from week 2 to week 3.
Would you expect to play fast again against Yale as opposed to the way you started out slowly against Boston College?
Yeah, well, we would not. Yeah, we don't need to.
We don't want to give them any secrets. I understand that. But back to the normal way to go.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with football co-captain Ryan Brady. We're here with Coach Bob Chesney. We're at the Holy Cross Coaches Show in Crossroads at the Hogan Center on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
This is the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we're back at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. I'm Dick Lutz with the Holy Cross Coaches. We're going to talk football for the rest of this segment. We'll be talking field hockey in the next segment and track and field in our final segment of the evening. By the way, Crossroads is open to the public in the Hogan Center. If you're ever in the area, drop on by. Great food, great atmosphere, a lot of Holy Cross kids hanging around, and I think you'd really enjoy coming over to Crossroads in the Hogan Center. We're joined this segment by Holy Cross football co-captain Ryan Brady, the senior from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. He, along with Blaze Bell, are the co-captains of the Crusaders. And first question, Ryan, what was going through your mind when you walked onto the field and you saw 40,000 people in the stands at Alumni Stadium?
It was great. It was obviously a great experience for the whole team. It was awesome playing in front of Holy Cross. The student section really showed out, and I just think it was great.
What about preparation for a game like Boston College? What was the atmosphere of the team, your teammates? How did they feel going into the game?
I think the biggest thing I took away from that game was when I looked around the locker room before the game. There was no kid in there was scared. So that's just a testament to my teammates. They're just all, like, great. Just, I was very proud of everybody.
You made 15 tackles in the game, which, of course, is quite a number. You've had 29 in the first two games, among the leaders in the country in tackles. So they weren't running right at you. They weren't afraid of you either. They were going right at you, and you were making the tackles, which is a good sign.
Yeah, yeah. I think I got a lot of help from that. My great D-line and Colin Honahan, he was great. And, he really stepped up when Jack Haddon went down. So he played phenomenal.
He's a freshman. What was it like having a freshman next to you in a situation like that?
Good. It didn't really feel like he was a freshman. He was going in there. He was making all his calls. And, it was great to see.
Did they do anything that surprised you? Were they any different than what you were expecting?
No. I mean, it was great to see that speed and that size on the field. That's something you obviously don't see every day. You don't get to see an ACC opponent. And I think it's going to pay dividends for the rest of the season going against that. So.
Tell me about Ryan and how he's led the team during this preseason and the first couple of games as a co-captain along with Blaze Bell.
Well, I think before anything, you know, you think about just the way he, not even the verbal part of his leadership skills, but the action part. You know, every single day, it's all he's got. You know, every single day when he goes out there, there's, you know, we often have to tell him to tone it down a little bit in practice because sometimes, you know, it's not a full speed drill, but he really only has one speed, which is good. But he's a guy that everybody looks up to. He's a guy that, you know, just, you know, commands a lot of respect from a lot of people because he does things the right way, you know, and not just on the football field, but, you know, in the community and in the classroom, and everything that he's doing right now is, you know, to be the best. And I think that's something that these other guys have clearly noticed because they voted for he and Blaze to be those two captains.
Getting ready for Yale, they beat you 32-0 last year. A little payback would be in order on Saturday at Fitton Field, the first home game of the season. It'll be nice to be back in front of the home fans, won't it?
Sure, yeah. The Holy Cross student section usually shows out very well, so expect it this year, and hopefully we get it.
Well, what do you remember from last year for the Yale game, and how do you intend to give it back to them the way they gave it to you last year?
Yeah, obviously it didn't go so hot last year. Hopefully get that turned around this year. They're a great program. I think we got a lot of talent on our team, and we're definitely battle-tested, so I think this is has the makeup to be a great game.
As far as the preparation for a game like Yale, they haven't played a game yet. The Ivies start a couple weeks after we do, typically, and so this is their first game. So you've got last year's film to look at, but does that hinder you in any way in preparation for a team having not played a game thus far this year?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of what ifs, right? You know, also the offense coordinator left and is now the head coach at Fordham. So it's not – there's a lot of things that, you know, are still left to be answered. I think for us, they have some film on us, and they have the ability to see what we've done in those first two games. I think that, you know, our job is to try to make it look quite different when we go into this next game, so it doesn't look exactly the same. And, you know, we don't know what they may be doing, so we have to prepare for sort of everything.
Ryan is currently third in the nation in tackles, fourth in tackles for a loss thus far this year. He's racking up impressive numbers.
Yeah, doing a great job. Doing a great job. And again, that's from preparation. It's not just doesn't just show up on game day. Shows up in what he does on a day-to-day basis.
Knowing that they know, the opponent knows what he's capable of doing, and they're preparing for that, how do you prepare for their preparation against him and that type of thing, if that makes any sense of your question?
Yeah, it does make sense. I think on defense it's maybe a little bit different, the chance for them to try to read him and put him in situations that when he does something they react, you know, and have a play off of it because he did the X, Y, or Z. But at the same time, you know, he's not a first-level defender. He's a second-level defender, so he can cover a lot of ground. And I think that it just makes it a little bit more challenging, a little bit more difficult. And we got to take him out of situations where we got to put him in situations where he's playing his game of football, not where – you know, they could turn him into a safety or something by moving him out of the box and all the other things that come with it.
Going back to the BC game a little bit, you had a pretty good vantage point of their outstanding runner, A.J. Dillon. What did you see about him? What was so impressive about him that makes him stand out?
I just think he's a phenomenal athlete. Just like his balance, just we'd try to get a hat to him, and he would just shake it and keep on running. So he was great.
He's pretty tough.
Yeah.
They'll be playing Wake Forest in an ACC game Thursday night. They've changed the time on that game because of the hurricane moving up the coast, so it's going to be a little bit earlier.
Yep.
As far as getting ready for Yale and the type of team that they have, what are you expecting from them as far as offensively? Are they going to be a passing team, a running team, or what do you expect?
Well, again, I think they have the rookie of the year in the running back, so I think they'll clearly want to run the ball. But then also the quarterback, I think, was first team all conference, you know, as a quarterback. So they can do both. They graduated a couple receivers, but they have a good young kid in there. It's a kick returner, and then they have another freshman, like I said earlier, that we know of that is going to be a vertical threat and a threat with the ball in his hands. So they're really complete. You know, their offensive line is also very good. They could really do it all. You know, so it's no different than what we saw in Colgate, no different than what we saw, you know, the next week at BC, and no different what we see going in here. So we have to continue to tighten up our entire program in all phases. And I think, you know, we do have an advantage because we've played and made some mistakes and learned from them. But then we lose the advantage because they have film on us and we don't have film on them. You know?
Holy Cross football plays their first home game at Fitton Field Saturday afternoon. It's 1 o'clock. Yale will be here for the 1 o'clock kickoff. There will be a ceremony during the course of the game at halftime. Rob McGovern and Bill McGovern will be the 26th and 27th individuals to be inducted into the Crusader Football Legends Ring of Honor. Saturday is also Faculty and Staff Appreciation Day at Fitton Field. Tickets available to all Holy Cross faculty and staff for just $8 each. In addition, the first 500 fans to enter Fitton Field will receive a free Holy Cross phone wallet. So something incentive to come to the ballpark on Saturday, Fitton Field, first home game of the season, 1 o'clock. So excited about playing at home for the first time this year after being away from home for a while?
Absolutely. It's always great playing at Fitton Field, and should be fun.
Ryan is a political science major, as I recall reading in your bio. What do you hope to do with that when you graduate, Ryan?
So I'm looking at a couple of law schools right now, and hopefully that path works out for me.
Will you be a good lawyer?
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah. It'd be great at everything you want to do.
I think so, too. Yeah. Holy Cross and Yale Saturday at 1 at Fitton Field. Thanks to Holy Cross coach Bob Chesney and Ryan Brady, the co-captain of the Crusaders. We will take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk track and field next on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads at the Hogan Center on the Holy Cross campus in Worcester. We'll be back right after this.
We now return to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI with your host, Dick Lutz.
At Crossroads at the Hogan Center on the Holy Cross campus, we continue with the Holy Cross Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live. We're going to talk field hockey now, and we'll follow up with a conversation on cross country in our final segment of the program. And we are joined now by field hockey coach Lindsey Jackson and senior midfielder Emily Lepret of the Holy Cross field hockey team. Welcome, ladies. Nice to have you with us. Coach, fourth season at Holy Cross. Last year, made it to the Patriot League playoffs. Let's go backwards.
Okay.
And talk a little bit about last season and how it ended.
Sure.
Give me a little bit of a recap.
Yeah. We did pretty well in the Patriot League. We were happy to make the tournament for the second year in a row, which was really nice. And how we got there was really great, and it showed a lot about the program that we are and the team that we are. Last year, it was coming down to our game against Lafayette. Whoever won that game got into the tournament. And so it was a really simple, you know, execution plan. We have to win, and we're going into the tournament. If we don't, we're done. and the team absolutely stepped up in every single way. Everybody played one of the best games we've had all year, and really one of the best games, I think, in my time here at Holy Cross. And so it was phenomenal.
Great way to end the season, and great momentum for the following season.
Absolutely.
Carry over to the next year.
Yeah, that's where we're getting there. We're getting there. It's a new group of people, so things are always different. But I think that we can all build off of those experiences. And Em, that's here with me, has been a big part of that since she's been here as a freshman. So we've definitely got some great experience, and now we're just trying to put the pieces together with the people we have this year.
As I look at your results for the first five games of the season, still looking for your first win, goal scoring has been a little bit of a problem.
It has. You nailed it.
How do you correct it? How do you correct it?
How do we correct it? Well, we're trying to work hard at that every single day, every single minute that we're out at practice, just creating a little bit more of that attacking mindset, because we've had the opportunities. Against our game this past Sunday against Columbia, we had, like, somebody must have tipped the field at like five of those opportunities, and I think their defense played a great game with making some of those saves. So we're just really trying to increase our attacking mindset and just some of those finishing skills, getting everybody those touches to learn how to score.
We'll throw the game with Maine out. They're a nationally ranked team. But the other games, all close games. You're not giving up a whole lot of goals. You're just not scoring a lot of goals.
So that's kind of our plan right now. We've got to make sure we continue to play really good defense because we do have a great defensive group. But we also have great attackers, and we have a really good midfield. So we just got to find those connections and make it happen.
Well, part of your really good midfield is Emily Laprette. She's a senior from Watertown, Massachusetts, a captain of the team this year. Give me your perspective of what you've seen through the first five games thus far this year.
Each day I'm definitely seeing a lot of improvement, and we're still trying to execute our fundamentals. So I think if we keep pushing that every day, we'll do a lot better.
Fundamentals are very important. How are practices here? Are you seeing any kind of morale problem with the team having lost first five games of the year, or is everybody still on a positive level?
I think we do a good job staying positive, and we get more competitive with each other each practice. So.
What about you, Coach? Have you seen your team stay positive through the early difficulty part of the season?
Yeah. Yep, I think so. And I think, you know, we had a little bit of up and down. We played a really hard weekend against Northeastern with the 2-1, and then Harvard 5-1, I believe. But
four nothing.
Okay, yeah. Well, we didn't score that game. But that was a really, really hard-fought weekend, and we came off of that, didn't have a great result against Fairfield, but then rebounded and played really hard, really well, really positive, really supportive on Sunday against Columbia. So I think that that is a testament to the group that we do have, that they are a resilient group and they are positive. We're just really fighting to get that result.
We've talked in the past about pockets of strength for field hockey players, for recruiting and things of that nature. Has that shifted at all, or where are the pockets of strength for recruiting for Holy Cross?
For Holy Cross, I mean, right now our freshman class is all Massachusetts, you know, that are this year incoming, and they're a great group of girls from really strong Massachusetts high schools, so we felt really good about that. We're still looking to diversify and more in that mid-Atlantic and reach into Pennsylvania and Virginia Beach and Maryland and some of these other areas that have some really good hockey, New Jersey also. But, you know, we're still, if there's really good hockey in Massachusetts, we want to get those kids here.
The high school that you went to, you were playing at, you're from Watertown High School. Mm-hmm. Good field hockey program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of kids go on to play Division I hockey after that?
Watertown is the most successful high school in the country for
no
field
kidding.
Hockey.
Really?
They have the most successful field hockey program in the country.
Why? I didn't know that.
Their win record.
I know, but why is it such a successful program outside of, obviously they win. What do they have a great junior program building up kids?
Emily can answer that better than I could.
Ten-year-olds playing field hockey? Or when did you start?
I started in eighth grade.
Yeah. Organized?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like a minor league system for the high school. Did they play on the same system as the high schools? Are they taught the same way that the high school coaches teach? Like, I know Pop Warner football, they try to do that.
Yeah.
They try to get the kids to play the same way that the high schools play. Do they do the same thing
with
field
hockey?
Yeah,
I would say the head coach, Eileen Donahue, runs a few summer camps and does stuff with really young girls. So she tries to build them up young.
And what about other areas in Massachusetts, Watertown? What would be the next best area?
Next best area. Acton Boxborough usually always has a great program. We've got a girl from there this year. We got a girl from Duxbury, all strong programs. I think around that Boston area, Belmont has a great program, which one of our other seniors is from Belmont. So some of those little pockets around the Boston area are really good.
Yeah.
And then you've got a little bit of hit or miss within in Central Mass.
Where's the strength in the Patriot League?
In the Patriot League, as far as who's the best right now?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to know this weekend when BU and American play. So last year, Boston won it. American got beat out by Bucknell, which was a little bit of an upset in that semi game. So we'll see. I think BU's going to hold it right now. If we're looking at rankings, BU's higher than American. But the game between the two of them, it's always going to be a battle.
You've got LIU Brooklyn coming to town Friday to play here at the on campus. What do we know about them?
LIU Brooklyn, they're a second-year program. So they're in the same boat with us. They haven't won a game yet, so they're going to be hungry for it. But I think we definitely have more experience. We have more talent, and we definitely have the ability to put a more complete game together. So we're hoping to really have a great night on Friday.
Emily Loprette, first team All-Patriot League last year, the year before, second team All-Patriot League. Tell me about Emily.
Tell you about Emily. Yeah. Well, there's a lot. Do we have enough time?
No. You've got as much time as you need.
Yeah. Em has been somebody that's been an impact player the moment that she stepped foot on this campus. And we both kind of stepped foot on campus kind of around the same time. That was my first fall, and that was her first fall. And we've been able to go to her to make plays happen, and we've been able to put her around in the midfield and the attack. It shows with all of her stats. It shows with all her accolades within Patriot League. But then also being in a leadership role right now, really being, you know, direct with our teammates as what we need to do to be successful, and coming from a high school program that I don't think lost an entire game in her 4 years while she's there. She's got a competitive edge and wants to win, so that's a really nice piece for us to be able to shift our culture in that direction.
Never lost a game in high school. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That's really very impressive. Let me just take this break. We'll get right back to it. Take the Patriot League with you wherever you go. Live games and on-demand content is free and easy to watch online and on your mobile devices. Now available on Roku, Apple TV, iOS, and Android platforms. Download the Watch Stadium app to start watching today. You can watch every Holy Cross home field hockey game online, and they're all there. Every game in the Patriot League you can watch during the course of the season, which is good for the parents, the fans all over the country. They get
Absolutely.
To watch it. Do you get much feedback on that?
We do. Our parents love it. Not, you know, we've got a widespread group. We do have a girl from St. Louis and some international players and stuff, so the parents love being able to watch the games, and they love hearing what the announcers have to say, and if they know about field hockey or if they don't, but we've had...
They can tell, can't they?
They can tell quickly if those announcers...
That's why I haven't done a field hockey game.
That's okay. but yeah, they love it. It's a nice way for them to stay connected, and for our alumni. A lot of alum watch them, too.
I'm still mad at you because they don't have any left-handed sticks.
I don't know what to tell you about that. That's not my choice.
No left-handed sticks in field hockey. What do we lefties
you
do?
You can play left-handed. There's actually a couple really good players that do that. It's interesting to watch.
With the stick backwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
You played number 25 Maine. You played number 15 Harvard. Tough opponents, top 25 teams. How does that help you prepare for the rest of the season when you play top-quality opponents like that?
I think it shows us where we need to improve, watching the film. And then I think we can really work off how they played against us and see if we need to change our formation or anything like that.
Coach?
I think it also really helps us to get prepared for BU and for American. So our focus is we want to be the best, and we want to be the best in general in every single game that we can be. But in the Patriot League, obviously that's our focus. We want to be getting to Patriot League weekend. We want to win that Patriot League championship game and go on to NCAAs, knowing that American and BU are in it, and they're, you know, BU's always in that top 20, 25, and American's right in there too with them. We play a lot of these other top programs so that when we see BU, when we see American, we're not like, whoa, this is a much faster game. We haven't seen this in a while. So it helps us to also get prepared for that. And that's how we like to look at it.
Four seniors on your team, including Emily. Mm-hmm. What do they bring to the table?
A lot of different things. We've got four seniors that all are very different personalities with all different skill sets playing all different positions. And that's what we love about it, is they really are diverse and they connect with all of their teammates in different ways, and they bring a different skill set.
Working the younger players in with the upperclassmen, that
absolutely
working out
pretty well. Yeah. I think we've got a good team culture and inclusion with everybody. What we like to talk about is, you know, when we're welcoming in those incoming, this is how we do things, this is our world, we're welcoming you into it, but this is how we got to do it.
Tell me a little bit about your assistants, Maddie Carpenter and James Albanese.
Sure. So Maddie, this is both of their first seasons with me, and so far it's been great connections. Maddie is from Massachusetts. She played out at Northwestern, was a goalkeeper there, starting goalkeeper, top 10 program. So she brings a lot of that also competitive edge, and what does a top 10 Division I field hockey program look like? How do they train? She's been there. She's done that. So she brings a really good
read on what we need to do to get there. And then she was a goalkeeper, so that's a real specialty position. And so she helps a lot in that because we need to be able to keep the ball in the cage. And then James is joining us from UMass, and he did a lot of work with their team, just was a practice player, but then also did a lot as a student assistant in a way and did a lot of film breakdown. His mom's an official for field hockey, and both of his sisters play. So he's surrounded by it and has grasped onto it, and he brings good speed. He plays with us all the time, and he also brings that competitive edge.
Emily, what's your major?
I'm a psychology major.
Psychology major. What do you hope to do with that degree when you get it?
Only time will tell.
Only time. No specific plans?
Not yet.
You got plenty of time. Take your time.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lindsay Jackson and Emily LaPrette from the Holy Cross field hockey team, our guests. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk cross country when we come back. Don't forget, the field hockey team is home on Friday against LIU Brooklyn. Tickets are free. Come on up and watch and play. We'll continue with the coaches show after this from Crossroads at the Hogan Center on Sports Radio 1440 WEI and on Facebook Live.
You're listening to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show with Dick Lutsk on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we're at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. I'm Dick Lutsk. We are completing our Coaches Show, second Coaches Show. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks here at Crossroads with another Coaches Show prior to the homecoming football game. We're going to talk cross country for the last segment of the show. We're joined by Jim Cavanaugh, the longtime coach of the cross country and track and field teams at the Holy Cross. Jenna Gasparini and Will Hoffman, cross country runners. And first, at the BC football game, I was there on Saturday, and I got up and I looked down at halftime, and I looked down on the field and I see there's a familiar face out there getting honored by the Boston College crowd. And it was Jim Cavanaugh. Congratulations.
Dick, thank you very much.
That was the Varsity Club Hall of Fame. Is that what that award was, sir?
It was actually the anniversary class, the 50th anniversary class of the 68 team.
Right.
So they asked me if I could come in and act as honorary captain of the DC team, which was probably the most awkward situation I've ever been in my life. But I think it went very well. I reconnected with guys that I hadn't seen in 50 years.
It was so nice. It was nice. The ceremony was nice. I saw the players on the field, and I saw the inductees into the this year's class of the Varsity Club, including Matt Hasselbeck, who was on the field, and some other notables of from Boston College years gone by that were honored during the halftime ceremony at Boston College. Jim Cavanaugh is one of only two, by the way. We've mentioned this before when we had him on the show. We embarrassed him a little bit. One of only two individuals in both the Holy Cross and the Boston College Halls of Fame, the other one being Bob Cousy, which is pretty good company. Pretty good company. Tell me about your cross-country team.
Well, it's been an exciting start for our cross-country team. We open up with the University of New Hampshire and Providence College. They are two very strong programs, PC on the national level, and certainly the UNH women on the national level. I think our take on that particular meet is to find out who on our team is going to be aggressive and become the leaders of our team. And certainly Jenna proved a point that she's ready to run with the best. She went out and finished third overall, only losing to two Providence College runners. Will, on the men's side, did a phenomenal job leading too. And actually, some of their leadership has brought along the freshmen very, very quickly. And I'm sure both Will and Jenna will be talking about that soon. But it was good to get our feet wet early in the season, and we followed up with a meet at Bryant this past weekend.
And you're going down to South Bend, Indiana this coming weekend.
That is the early season goal, to go out to South Bend and run against some of the best Catholic schools in the nation, particularly the Midwest. And find out what we're really capable of doing. And right now we're looking at our leaders being the, say, two on each side that have experience going out there and running against the Notre Dames and the Loyolas and some teams out there. But we also feel that our freshmen are going to go out there and make an impact. And I think that's what we're looking for. Who in that freshman class is going to step up? And certainly on the men's side, two of them have done a great job already. But again, I'll leave those names for the other two to talk about.
Well, let's talk to Jenna Gasparini. She is a junior from Ridgefield, Connecticut, a transfer, by the way, from Boston College. What is it about this Boston College stuff? Anyway, Jenna, welcome.
Thank you.
What goes into the making of a good cross-country runner?
I think a lot of it has to do with the summer training. You got to put in a lot of miles over the summer and then come in and be ready to work on the speed and work with the team, too.
What made you want to be a distance runner as opposed to a sprinter or something like that? Why long distance?
A lot of it has to do with the distance community, but also I feel like the farther I go, the more comfortable I feel.
How far have you run? What's the longest you've run?
The longest run I've done?
Have you run a marathon?
I haven't, no. No. I would like to when I graduate. Yeah. But the longest I've done is 14 miles.
That's a long way. That's pretty decent. What's your specialty? Do you have a specialty in your field right now?
I would say the 5K.
5K?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you prepare for that? What distances do you run to get ready for a 5K? Do you run 5K or do you run shorter distances at a faster pace?
Both. So we'll do recovery runs of 6 to 7 miles, long runs of 11 or 12 miles, and then workouts of shorter distances.
Will, same question to you. Will Hoffman is with us. He is a senior from Wilton, Connecticut. What made you run long distance?
It's always been something I've really enjoyed, just running farther. You really get to, when you're going on runs with your teammates and stuff, you really get to know them. You have a lot of time to talk and hang out with your friends and make good friends. And then when you're doing the workouts, you guys get to, like, work out hard together and really just, like, push each other. And it's something that I feel like is pretty unique to distance running. So I've always really enjoyed that.
Is it a social event or a sporting event?
Well, it gives you the opportunity to make friends and go through a lot of hard work together, and I think it forms like a brotherhood that's hard to replicate in other scenarios.
Will qualified for the IC4As, the 5 mile race. Is that what I'm reading here?
Yeah.
Correct. And you're majoring in religious studies at Holy Cross. So, what would you hope to do with that major when you graduate?
I'm also planning on majoring in biology, but I haven't declared that yet. So, I'm hoping to go to.
You're announcing, making that announcement tonight.
Yeah. Mom, listen, I'll declare. But I'm hoping to go to graduate school for biology in the future.
Jenna, what's your major?
I'm a math major.
And you hope to do what with that?
Still not sure yet, but.
Is teaching down the road, is that something that is possible or not?
No, I'm not planning on that.
Not on that. Okay, I got you. So tell me about these two guys, Coach.
Yeah, I was hoping to have that opportunity.
You got
because
it.
Because I think they're both really laid back. Will is probably one of the most improved runners on the men's team, stepping in as a co-captain, and I think did a great job of leading the team at UNH. I expect big things of him down at Notre Dame when we get there. He certainly is going to be a leader among the top five. So I'm very happy with what he's done, particularly in leading the team in distance runs and most recently some of the workouts on campus. Jenner, on the other hand, was a great pickup from Boston College. From the day she got here, it was very obvious that she was something special. She is now a reigning champion, a New England champion in the 5,000, second in the 3,000, scorer in the Patriot League, and school record holder in the 5,000. The way she runs is outstanding because she shows no fear for anyone that she's competing against. So she's proven that against Providence and also again this past weekend against the Boston College cross-country team. I think when we go to Notre Dame this year, she's going to show very well against some of the favorites from Notre Dame, and I expect her to be in that lead pack the whole way, and we'll be following her, we hope.
What about competing on the big stage in South Bend, Indiana, Jenna? How do you approach it?
I'm definitely excited to be able to put myself in a pack up front and kind of just hang on. It's not often that you get opportunities to run against the best in the country, and I know Notre Dame has a lot of good talent, so I'm excited to get out there. And
when you go into a competition like that, do you know who you're running against? Do you know their strategy, and do you try to plan your strategy to counter what they're planning to do?
Sometimes. Usually I'll just go into a race and try to focus on my own race and then use the people around me as I can. But it's hard to predict what someone else is planning on doing.
Will, how do you prepare for an event such as that on the big stage in South Bend, Indiana?
Well, as Coach kind of referenced earlier, this is my first time really running pretty well on the team, so this is my first time going to Notre Dame. I'm really excited. I think a lot of this race, though, especially for me, is going to be like a mental thing. I've never really competed on a big stage like this before, so I think a big part of it for me is just going to be try to remain calm and treat it as just I do any other race, just try and stick with some guys that I think will pull me to a fast time.
Well, Coach Kavanaugh, you have to be somewhat of an amateur psychologist to get people ready for an event on the big stage like that. How do you prepare them for a major event such as this?
A lot of what we do has to do with testing them in workouts. Some of it certainly is the background work they do with the mileage they put in. and a lot of that is solitary mileage. It's very difficult. You have to be really dedicated. You don't get the feedback that some team sports would get. Your only feedback is you know you're putting in the time that's going to pay off when you get into a race. I think what we do in practice, for instance, today, we did repeat half miles, and we did them faster than race pace. By doing that, their body gets used to feeling what they have to feel in a race. I think the biggest thing in cross country, even more so than track, is that there are limitations that are self-imposed. And what we're trying to do as coaches is convince these people that they're better than they ever thought they could be. And that's very difficult because they have to buy into your thought about what their potential is. But you hit somebody like Jenna and Will, they're not worried about it. They go out and they work their butts off to get to the next level. And I think they're modeling some very good habits that have been proven successful for, on the men's side, two of our guys have been 1-2 for us in the last 2 weeks. That would be Corey Kumamoto and then Joe Leland. And they're just really showing that they're going to be as aggressive as these two. And then on the women's side, four of our top eight people right now are freshmen on the women's side, and actually four of the top eight on the men's side. So I think we've got young runners on the team, but they're young, aggressive runners. And I think they're really waking up some of the upperclassmen who have to respond to that. And you see it on a daily basis.
You've been at this for a long time, 47 years. How has training changed for running over the years to this point where you see times that were unthinkable years ago? Now it's just a matter of fact. Nobody ever thought they could run a four-minute mile. Then Roger Bannister did it. Now everybody goes to three. They're running 350 miles.
Right.
How has it changed?
I think a lot of it is certainly there are better facilities. I think there is better training techniques taking place right now. But the most important thing, I think, is the mental aspect of it, the wiping out of self-imposed restrictions. A person now, with even our kids coming in who have a personal best, you have to somehow get them to stop thinking of their personal best and think beyond that. So I think in the training itself is, it used to be there are certain schools of thought that you have to get lots of mileage in, and that works for some people. Other people need more speed work. So I think what you've got to do is look at individuals. These two people are not training the same way. So what you've got to do is find out what works for one and what works for another. So I think individualizing to a certain degree is the difference right now.
How much of training in cross country is nutrition and sleep and preparation aside from the actual running?
That's a decent amount. I think it's important to make sure that you're focusing on all aspects and not just the running and training. But sometimes that can be hard as a student athlete, so we just try our best.
Is nutrition a difficult thing to watch training for an event such as cross country? Because I mean, you have to be careful. Let's face it; you really have to be careful.
Yeah, I think especially days leading up to meets, everyone on the team is pretty careful with what they eat. We want to make sure we're fueling our bodies properly, and especially like you said before, sleep. I think sleep's like crucial to running, and it's really one of the most important things you can do. So I'm usually going to bed at like 11 o'clock most nights, waking up at 9, so I'm getting a solid amount of sleep most nights.
Well, we've talked about this with many Holy Cross athletes over the last couple of years, time management being so mm-hmm. difficult with the academic load that you carry, with the practice, the training regimen that you have. How do you do it, Jenna? How do you prepare for time management? How do you handle your time management?
I definitely have to put my academics ahead of a lot of other things that I might want to do. So if that means studying on a Saturday and spending my whole Sunday studying, that's what I'll do. So I just have to focus on getting all the work done that I can.
There is a sacrifice.
Yes.
It's saying. Will, how about you?
Yeah, I think that running and going to practice every day has really helped give me like a good regimen and schedule that I go through throughout the year. So I'll work all day, then go to practice, then after that just do homework until I have to go to sleep. So I think it does impact us, and there are things we have to sacrifice, but I think that it, in the end, I think being a student athlete has helped my academic career.
How much of coaching is getting your runners to manage their time?
I think a tremendous amount of it is. What you've got to do is have a sensitivity to, you know, what they're going through, the stress of the classroom, the stress of the social life on campus. If you're not sensitive to that, then you're even being sensitive to how much sleep they had the night before, changes the workout you're going to have them do that day. I think another thing that goes into their training that's extremely important is the backup support that we get from, like, the strength and conditioning coaches on campus, getting us ready to be prepared for our races. The other thing is the training staff. The training staff, including the doctors, that are right on top of the injuries as soon as something happens. And without that, we're going to make more mistakes. For instance, one of the things we instituted a few years ago is forcing the issue of blood tests during the summer so that we're not fighting with anemia with the kids on distance runners. That's a huge thing. And I think the kids were responsible enough this summer to get their iron levels checked, their ferritin levels checked, so we know ahead of time that we have to supplement something.
In this age of digital technology, how has that impacted training, preparation, working with the cross-country team?
Well, they don't trust me anymore. So what happens now when we're doing repeat half miles or repeat quarters, they have their GPS watches and they tell me how far they've run. But fortunately, they're not stopping immediately as they might in the future. But the digital age is, I think, one of the big aspects of it is the immediacy of results. Not your own results, but results of the people you're going to be seeing the next week. I mean, as soon as the race is over, they have access to it. So they know what their competition has been doing, and therefore they know what they have to do to better the competition.
Let's talk about individual goals that you may have set for yourself. Jenny, you go first.
Yeah, I finished 14th in the Patriot League last year, so I would like to improve upon that for sure. And definitely try and keep pushing that PR down.
Will?
Yeah, my goal is definitely to run faster. My AK PR right now is... It can definitely be improved upon, and I also hope to, you know, help.
PR standing for personal record.
Yeah, personal record. Yeah, so best time in the race. I'm hoping to, you know, help the team score as few in cross country. You want to score as few points as possible, so I'm hoping to bring down the points and hopefully move up a couple spots in the Patriot League this year.
What goals do you have for your cross country team, Coach Cavanaugh?
Well, certainly when we go to Notre Dame, we'd be hoping to finish maybe in the top five with the women's team. I think if we're in the top 10, top nine on the men's team, we'd come back pretty happy with that, particularly since we're so young. In the Patriot Leagues, we're looking to have our best finish. If we could finish in third in the Patriot League, that would be our best ever. I think we have the opportunity to do that, depending on how quickly the freshmen come along. On the men's side, I think we've been stuck right around seventh place. If we could try to move up, there's a big gap between ourselves and Bucknell at this point. So I think right now we're speaking of closing a gap as opposed to going beyond that and beating them at this point.
Good luck on Saturday at South Bend, and good luck the rest of the year to your cross-country team, the track and field team later on, and thanks for being with us here tonight. Coach Jim Cavanaugh joining us along with a couple of Will Hoffman and Jenna Gasparini from the cross-country team. We had Coach Bob Chesney and Ryan Brady on earlier, and we had Emma Lepret and Coach Lindsey Jackson from the field hockey team on our coaches show. We're back again in a couple of weeks prior to the homecoming football game, which is against Bucknell in a couple of weeks. We'll look forward to seeing you then from Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. I'm Dick Lutz. Thank you very much, and good night.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.